This is Skip Mancini. I'm so glad you could come in, get out of the hot sun, and set a spell. It's time for Growing on the High Plains.
Way back in the wintertime, when cold weather and some snowfall put me into the planning stages for the upcoming garden, I surrounded myself with catalogs and began window shopping for something new and different. That's when I came across painted lady pole beans and decided to incorporate them into this year's garden, where they would surely shine as both an edible vegetable and a colorful flower. This would be my first attempt at raising snap beans vertically, so some assistance from the resident architect resulted in three handsome teepee trellises, all set to support the masses of blooms and beans that would eventually climb toward the sky. My decision to add pole beans to my already sizable garden was based on several factors. Number one, my Kentucky grandmother had always said she thought a pole bean had a better taste than a bush bean, though she planted both kinds each year just to make sure she had all her bases covered. Number two, my bean research told me that pole beans, though later to bear than bush, would present a larger harvest over a longer period of time. Three, harvesting was an upright affair, so I didn't have to bend over to pick the prizes. And finally, four, the blooms were just so pretty. Springtime planting resulted in sprouting in late May, followed by much twining and twirling in June. July brought incredible heat and consistent watering requirements, but the painted ladies dallied forth in the midday sun with masses of red, pink, and white blooms. And that's where they still are today, toward the latter part of August. The profuse blooms have produced not one single bean. The teepee towers are wrapped in pole bean blossoms, but no beans have made an appearance. I would ordinarily be skeptical of the seed I was sold, and maybe even swear off ever planting pole beans in the future. But then there's the tomato situation on the other side of the garden, where profuse vines and blooms have produced no tomatoes. For the first time in my nearly 50 years of gardening, I have had to buy tomatoes this summer. I do have one survivor, a very large cherry tomato that is covered with hundreds of tiny green orbs, but they don't seem to want to get ripe. The rest of the tomato patch has turned tail, yellowed, and called it quits. I'm sure the tomato disaster has been caused by heat. A master gardener guru has confirmed this theory, stating that tomatoes cannot set fruit when the daytime temperature is over 95 degrees, with nighttime temps needing to drop below 75. One look at this summer, with multiple days between 100 and 115 degrees in western Kansas, and nights that might cool down into the high 80s, tells it all on the lack of tomato production. Could this singeing summer be the cause of my pole bean failures? Right now, that's very feasible, but I'm going to ask some experts, since I still have some painted ladies seeds stored in the freezer. I might be willing to try again next year, especially if we get any forecasts for drought relief in the future. As for the present harvest, thankfully, I'm my grandmother's granddaughter, so last spring, I also planted a row of old reliable jade bush beans just to cover all my bases.
Growing on the High Plains is a production of High Plains Public Radio. It's written and produced by Skip Mancini.